Here, in the middle of one of the booklets, where we are discussing the Shaila of Gezel Shein, is it really a thing or not a thing? So if you take a look on page 2, so we talked a little bit last week about Gezel Shein vis-a-vis Chumras, meaning, let's say, for example, you want to wash Negavasa near your bed and it's going to wake up your spouse. We brought down different opinions about that. But now we're going to just jump gears to source number 19. If you're on page 2, source number 19 is an interesting tshuva for interesting shayla presented to Reb Zilberstein. Chashuk Echemet. Listen to this shayla. Every parent has had this situation, but I don't think any parent actually cleared the shayla. What's the shayla? Ha'im mutter le'ima kishi roya sha'ayela nirdam b'fnei hazman l'hoi yoroisai. You see, your kid falls asleep, put the kid in the stroller, you put the kid in the car, and they fall asleep before the time they should fall asleep. K'dei she'yishim b'zman. V'layasa lehem shibushim b'seder ayim. Do you say that as a parent, I'm allowed to wake my child up because I know if they don't sleep, if they sleep now, they'll be dancing in my head later tonight and I have stuff to do. Or they're going to be thrown off their schedule. So is it okay for a parent to wake a child and there's no shayla of Gezel Shein? This is the shayla presented to Reb Zilberstein.
You're preventing your son or daughter from doing Gezel Shein with you. Ah,
so that's part of the shayla. Meaning, who's going to lose out in this entire equation over here, right? The answer is, if I wake the kid wants to be sleeping because they're tired, obviously. But I don't want them sleeping now because if they're sleeping now, they're going to be on my head later tonight and I have stuff to do. So does Gezel Shein kick in? So again, it should depend on how real Gezel Shein is. If Gezel Shein is a real thing, you're not allowed to steal from kids. You're not allowed to steal from young people. Again, how they own things is more complicated. But in theory, you're taking away from their sleep that they needed. So listen to Reb Zilberstein answer. He says, "Ach kol zeh kashein lo tzarech." He says, "Avad that the isur of Gezel Shein is only when there's no need." Avol ha'hoy adam mitzrech mitzvah. Right? You got to wake up someone to go daven. Oy letzarech panosa. Got to wake him up to go to his job. Im zelutay vasoy shiadua shayosh yisamach kishayoyosay. If you know the person wants to be woken up, he doesn't want to miss minyan. He doesn't want to miss his chavrusa. He doesn't want to miss his job. Then says Reb Zilberstein lekuliyam mutal ha'yir. Now we saw that already last week, where Reb Chashami pointed out from the Mishnah Berura that if someone comes home late Chanukah and he knows that his family would want him to wake him up, he's allowed to wake up his family. Now obviously there's a big jump between doing a mitzvah of menorah and going to your job. Some people would say, "Don't wake me up for the menorah. Wake me up for the job. I don't want to miss the train or the bus." But in theory, if you know the party's involved and you know they want to be woken up, says Reb Zilberstein. Right. We're going to get to that. I believe that in the Sunday morning show, we'll get to that. How that story is very much relevant. The story of Dumbasim. Yeah. The Gemara Kedusha Daflam Aleph. Yeah. So we're going to come back to that. In Mitzvah Shem, we'll get to that in the Sunday show, I hope, one of these days. But listen to Zobishin's response. He says, "Ubeshei lezu, kasher kotet ein lo das ma toiv avurei." The kid doesn't know what's better for him. Uma lo toiv avurei. What's not good for him? Onu tzvichim la'amid is daite ma toiv avurei. We have to decide. Uposhu shebishol ha'kotet na toiv b'yoyser, she'e lo ima b'riya v'ranana. It's best if mother has her sanity and her rest. He says, when you wake up a child, it's not the same as when you wake up an adult. Even though when you wake up kids, they're very cranky. When you wake up adults, they're very cranky also. But his point is that he thinks that since the child can't decide, if anyone's ever woken up children, you know he always has this fine. No, I want to sleep. What do you mean? Some of them are old enough to say what they want and what they don't want, even if they're not adults. Halachically or legally, but Reb Zilberstein the Ma'aseh is mekel over here. He thinks that it's mutter for a parent to wake up a child if the parent feels it's not best interest for the family unit if this child. Now again, without Reb Zilberstein's psak, I could still tell you what 10 out of 10 women do. They wake up the babies as they feel needed, as they do. But at least now we have Reb Zilberstein to be Seimachan that we're not violating Gezel Shein when we wake up our children. You know, all those parents wake up the kids at 2 o'clock in the morning, they take them on flights or bring them home from flights. So there the kids want to travel, so you wake them up. Someone was just telling me they woke up their kids at 4 something in the morning to catch a flight to Orlando. Okay? If you that badly want to go to Orlando, you like it because I won't do that to my kids at 4 o'clock in the morning. I think that's even if they want it. There they say they want to be woken up. But here he's saying that even if the kids don't know what's best for them, the parents have the, you know, parental permission to decide what's best for their children. Okay. If you turn to the next page, the last page, they asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky about this. Sha'alti is going to Reb Chaim Kanevsky. This sefer called Gvuras Moshe, written by a contemporary. He said, I asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky, Im begezel sheina oivim alav shel gzela. Straight up. Is a person oivir gzela if he still sleep? Because gezel means you stole something that exists. Avoshina in my mamish, there's nothing to it. So again, Reb Chaim Kanevsky's opinion we made very clear in last week's share. He holds clearly there's no lav. You're not a gazlin. You're not posel edus. You're not oivir alav if you steal someone's sleep. But a person is over the asev after recha kamecha. It's just not nice. It's not a nice thing to do. We pointed out last week, some people hold you over a different level of loisainu. You shouldn't do things that cause pain to your friend, but we pointed out, but if you have a reason for why you're doing it, you're not just doing it to be a jerk, you're doing it for a tayelas, then maybe it's not us. Then he writes, Shuvra isi, b'gemara brachas avavim beit. The Gemara says, Shemish le onashom lechaveri shektim loishom shirk gazlin. The Gemara says, if someone says to you, how are you doing, and you don't respond, you call the gazlin. Ah, what do you mean? With tzarechim ha'ashaych l'kreis ha'gazlin, then can't dover be'en kishloi on ha'sholoim. Same kasha. According to Chaim Kineski, how do you read that Gemara? What do you mean, gazlin? What did I steal from you? The lack of response. V'nirish yeshloim at the kivin shem b'choyiv litin l'adam dover ha'vikim ha'oishik. He says, no. If I say something to you, now you owe me a response. It's like I have a tviya on you. You owe me a response. And if you don't respond to me, then you're withholding something that I deserve. And that's like oishik. That's like withholding payments. That when we're talking about, let's say, sleep, which is something which is in the ear, then there's no time of gzela. But the Gemara says, if I ask you something and you don't respond to me, so since I'm owed a response from you, that tviya I have on you is something that we can call gezel. I don't owe you sleep. Therefore, there's no din gzela. Then this sefer says, I found him. Shmuel Vosner writes, he said, Ayin Tesefta. We mentioned this Tesefta last week. The Tesefta says, she is shiva mine ganovim. The Tesefta has seven categories of gezel. One of them is what we call gain of das abris. You give off a false impression. You make someone think like you really like them and you don't like them, or you make it sound like I would have loved to give you this, but it didn't work out. All those things, you're called a ganav, the Tesefta says. There's no mamoshes. So he says, you see from over there, that you don't need to be mamoshes. So this Tesefta is really a kasha on Abchaim Kanievsky. This Tesefta seems to be very clear that to be a ganav, you don't actually have to take something that you can hold or touch or even have a value to. Okay.
It's interesting that it keeps switching between the word Geneva
and Yeah. They use it somewhat. Right. I'm not sure what angle they're coming to with that point.
Even Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky himself said.
Yeah. Switchback. Yeah, yeah. So it could be the way he was responding to the way the person asked it to him. But again, at the end of the day, this is more of a lom nishashayla. Is this chayach to have gezel on something you can't touch, feel, or hold in your hands? Now, just very quickly, if you look at Menashe Klein over here, he says like this. He says, akoponim lin izdaiti tamut chocham aloimit bekoil. Let's say someone learns very loudly. You have those guys that they learn very, very loudly, and they disturb people around them, they disturb neighbors. Again, in most of our homes, we have a little bit more spread out. It's not as common. If you live in an apartment building, or you live in attached homes like in my neck of the woods, where everyone hears everything, right? And attached homes, if anyone's ever lived in one, you walk up the steps, you can hear them walking up the steps. It's not much crazy. It's a wild existence. You know, my in-laws grad are attached on both sides. I'm attached on one side. And the person on the other side of me is an old lady who most of the time is not home. So I'm very lucky. But my in-laws are attached on both sides. I go there to visit. I said, what's going on over here? You mom, hear people going up and down the steps. They have a dog next to you. You hear the dog barking. You hear the kids yelling at it. It's Nishkan Leben. But in a Zat Matzif, and that you got to pay over $1 million to get. Okay, that's a shmuz for a different time. But in any case, so that's a shot. Let's say you're learning in your house, you're very loud, and you wake up all the neighbors. You live in an apartment, or you live in a very small, you know, area, and you're waking everyone up because you like to scream on the top of your lungs and learning. Is that permitted? So Menashe Klein writes, Al koponim nefin is daiti tam tchochem haloimid bekoil, lo yishayich, lo yishno bebeis, hamedish, lo yishno bebeis. It makes no difference where he is. He's waking up the neighbors. Mutter u mitzvah ka'avit. He's in the green. He's allowed to. You can't yell at him. You can't knock on the door and say, I'm sorry, you're disturbing the neighbors. Can't do it. If everyone listens to him, they decide they want to learn also. Fantastic.
So, Lamaisa, we have a guy in Tabasika Minyan that a lot of people would stay around to learn, and he started the daven with us, and now he leans the entire parsha out loud. Shai Mikra, Katargum, and whatever. You can't learn the Black Gemara when somebody's leaning.
The big
best medrash. Cacophony, okay, everybody drowns each other out.
Right.
So people don't learn there anymore.
Right.
So the question is, I go over to them and say, stop.
So let's see.
We had last week
with Rabbi Yashiv, a story with Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv was learning. Someone knocked on his door and said, can you please lower the volume? My wife is being disturbed. Rabbi Yashiv said, no problem. And then a few years later, this family was read to one of Rabbi Yashiv's grandchildren. He said, don't take the shidduch. He said, someone that tells someone else to lower the volume of learning is not someone you want to marry to. That was the story we had with Rabbi Yashiv last week. Yeah, it's you can look at.
He's blaming. It's not.
Right. If you want to take a look, it's on the first page of your sheet or second. You can. It's in this booklet if you want to read it. But let's keep on going. One second. Let's see. So you take a look over the Sefer Gevuras Moshe. This is a contemporary Sefer. He writes, "Im Tamud Chacham Loimed Belayla Bekol Bedirasai." A guy is learning in his own house. He's learning in his own house loudly. Aser lahafsika betchila salayla betanis gedol shein. You can't stop him with the tain of gedol shein. You have no right to do that. It's correct. You also don't have to be a jerk about it. If you're disturbing people, try not to disturb people. And again, in the story with Rabbi Yashiv stopped. And Rabbi Yashiv said, okay, I'm going to stop. Now, he didn't give them a whole drasha that it's mutter and I'm learning and you should stop. He said, I'm disturbing you. And he stopped. And Rabbi Yashiv learned loudly. As you can watch on YouTube, you can watch his videos of him learning very loudly. It's not beautiful to see. He learned loudly. But again, Rabbi Yashiv said, if it's disturbing, it's disturbing. But kids, you can't quiet them. Very interesting. We'll talk more in a second about that. The cost of a shevet alevi, she'ev shebez manenu, shinas odam tzrich lele briyosei. He says, no, maybe today it's different. Today people need sleep for their health. G'sheinu yoshet mazikloi. Taka could be detrimental if a person doesn't get enough sleep. So Reb Shmuel Volzer thinks, no, if you're going to learn at night, you should try not to disturb others. And you should make a deal with all the people who move into the community that everyone's only going to learn out loud, between these hours and these hours. After bedtime hours, everyone's going to be quiet. Now the truth is, it's really a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Number 23. It says in Shulchan Aruch, in Choshe Mishpat, it says, V'chein yesh loy l'lami tinoikis Yisrael teir b'seich beisai. Let's say you decide that you want to open up your house to be elementary school. Forget it, zoning for a second, right? But the problem is the neighbors all say, what? There's going to be so much noise now. You have to listen to little kids learn, right? The Rebbe promises all these treats, and these kids scream on top of their lungs. They yell at the pasuk, and they scream. So the neighbors say, no deal. We moved into this community because it's quiet. There's no noise. Also now we have 25 little kids screaming every single morning. So Shulchan Aruch paskins, ve'ein ha'shcheinim yichayel olimcheis biyadei. The neighbors have no right to say, v'loy maloy ein anu yichayel lisha mikal atinei kishabes rabban. They can't complain. Anytime that the person in the neighborhood is doing a mitzvah, they have no right to claim. This is because they're doing a mitzvah. Now this is be'emus, a very big sugya. I'm not getting into it now. I just threw this in at the end just for thought provoking ideas. But look what he writes over here from Rabbi Forsheimer in Lakewood, number 24. This is a big shaila. Haroitza lisha mebeis hamedrash. Guy wants to put his head down in Beis Medrash. Afilu ben asdorim, even if it's ben asdorim, ain't a yochel levakish mechayim lachnia koil. He cannot ask other people to lower the volume. Da mokim, hahu mokim lumoid volishim. So that is, Stu, to your question, you have to know, if a place is meant for learning, it's not meant for doing shtayim mikra elatz. Maybe Taka don't have the right meaning. You have to know what the room was built for. A Beis Medrash is meant for learning, not for sleeping. A Beis Medrash is learned for learning, normal conversing and learning. If a person is doing something abnormal, he has no right to be there. But he points out great Rabbi Forsheimer. He says, "Vagayin ibyakov Forsheimer v'neiru zeh davka b'divitayra." Right? I mean, let's say, for example, two guys are learning. They got the guy at the end of the table sleeping, so you don't have to whisper because he's sleeping. Avol b'sichas chulin. Let's say two guys are just schmoozing. Milvaro iser hachom eladar b'sichas chulin b'beisam medrash oyin oyver al afroas shinas chaveri. He says that you can't do. You can't just schmooze in beis medrash and wake someone up. That you're not allowed to do. He says, if I want to learn with someone and the guy happens to be a guy sleeping, I used to be like in yeshiva, a lot of times you had that, right? Guys are learning, guys are sleeping. So you don't have to tiptoe around the learning. But to schmooze, that you have no right to do. That tackle would be a serious violation. So again, at the end of the day, it's hard to know for sure if Gezel Shein is a gazlin with the Chaymer Hagzela. It's not something we should do. But again, it's very possible if there's a tzairich, if there's a reason why someone feels the urge to wake someone up, he definitely should do so, and it's not a violation. Yeah. Okay, that was from last week. Yeah.
Person, I may have missed it. Did you talk about waking up a kid if he's sleeping?
Yeah, that was a Zilberstein shayla.
Okay,
so let's just jump gears to a totally different topic now. No shayches, but I just want to talk about the mitzvah of Achzakas HaTorah. This is the mitzvah of supporting Torah. It's a fascinating topic. From a halachic standpoint, again, a little bit hashkafa, but it's really a halachic discussion. If you take a look over here, number one, this was really based on Parshas Vayechi with Yisachar and Zevulun. So if you take a look over in the Torah in Yerideya, some Reish Mevav, he writes the following. Kol echod mi Yisrael chai b'talmud Torah. Every Jew has to learn Torah, bein oni, bein oisher, whether you're poor or whether you're rich, bein shalom b'gufoy, whether your body's intact, bein bal yisurin, whether you have physical ailments. Bein bocher, whether you're young, bein muzakim, whether you're old. Afilu ani amechaz al psachim, even if a guy spends his whole day collecting, afilu baal ishu ubanim, a guy's got a lot of children, chayiv lekvoy leizman letalmud Torah b'yom u'balayla. A person has to find time day and night to learn. Shenema v'gis b'yom v'layla. We spoke about this in the Sunday morning share. This pasuk is not in the Chumash, this pasuk is in the Navi, but you gotta find time to learn. Good. Says the Torah.
Where is this again? I'm sorry.
Reish mem vav yardeh. This is the Torah. Says the Torah. Umi she'i efshaloi lulmoy. Let's say a guy cannot learn. Nisha einu yardeh klal lulmoy. He doesn't know how to. Again, today, that's a very, very hard excuse. Between Art Scroll and online Torah and all these other things, today this is a very weak excuse. The next excuse is a little better. Ayim neitir des hazman. He just doesn't have time. He's got responsibilities. Says the Torah. Yasbik la'acherim ha'loimdim. Support others that are learning. V'tachshav loy, and will consider it ki'ilu hu loymed ba'atzmoy. And will consider it as if he himself learned. This is the makar of what we call today hachzakas ha'Torah, supporting Torah. Says the Torah, if you support others that learn, will consider it as if you learned. And we'll see, what does this mean? This doesn't just mean, you know, words. This means in real halachic significance, that will consider it as if you yourself learned Torah. Chazal tell us the pasuk smach zvulum b'tzeisach of Yisach ha'belach. Famous pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. Smach zvulum b'tzeisach. Zvulun rejoices when he leaves. V'yisach ha'belach, and Yisach is in his tents. Okay. Now, what does it mean? Ki'ilu hu lomed ba'atzmai. It means as if you learned yourself. That means you get the credit. That means you get the mitzvah. That means you get the knowledge. What does that mean? Ki'ilu hu lomed ba'atzmai. So if you look in the Ramah in Yeradeh, he says basically the same thing. He quotes, the Mechaber says it. Umi sheyef shalai lom avnei sheyadeh klal lamed avnei atirdes. Shulchan Aruch says in Yeradeh, reish mabav, a person cannot learn, either because he doesn't know how to, or because he has responsibilities. Yaspik lachem aloimdim. Allow others to learn, or support others to learn. Then the Ramah writes, v'tachshav loyim, will consider it ki'ilu lomed ba'atzmai. Mamish, the same words of the Torah, the Ramah records as well. Says the Ramah, v'yochel odim lahasek sim chavera, a person can make a deal with his friend, shehu yasek b'teira, that you learn, v'yamtzi l'panosu, and you will support him, v'yachlik imay b'scham, and you'll split the reward. So this is what we call today the Yisach HaZvulun. Even if you notice, and Rav Moshe discusses this in the Tshuva, that they never use the term Yisach HaZvulun. They don't say Yisach HaZvulun. It's the idea of Yisach HaZvulun, but it's what we call today a partnership. You can make a partnership with someone that you'll split, you learn, and I work, and we'll split. How you split, and big Shiloh who splits what, but that's the idea.
Let's say I do learn. I don't learn as much as you.
Good, which we said you have to do anyways.
So I have to do that anyway. Right. Then I don't have to do this.
You don't have to. No, you definitely don't have to. But if you do it, it's kilo lamed ba'atzma. You get this ma'ilav as if you learn. So if a guy learns in the morning, learns at night, then he works 9 to 5, and during those hours he sends money to someone who's learning. So he gets schar that he learned in his morning and the night, and those hours also.
So let me. It's
a great endeavor.
So why do we need the Matthias Yo Solomon to say in the name of Moshe Salvage again Sunday morning? It's a befer shalom.
Yeah, that's where they got it from. They got it from this line over here. That ki'ilu lamed ba'atzmai. No, but that was different.
No, we just had it this Sunday.
No, but the kshayla is, what does it mean ki'ilu lamed ba'atzmai? Does that mean a kiyum of Talmud Torah? Shulchan Aruch Rav said that when you send your son to yeshiva, you self a mean Talmud Torah. We don't know what this. We're developing. We'll see tonight. What does it really mean when it says ki'ilu lamed ba'atzmai? Is it just a credit issue? Or is it actual more than that? We'll see.
You're certainly not getting the knowledge. That's true.
We'll get to that. We'll see. Reb Yaakov says otherwise. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, how could you get the knowledge?
Very good. We'll see. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky has a mahalach. Let's see. So if you look over here, we didn't finish off. Last line of the Ramah. Avon kvar oisik b'teira. Let's say you already learned. Then any yochel limko lechelik b'shul mamashitlan. Then you can't sell that. That's why every shir, you know, when they say this shir is dedicated, they always say it before you start the shir. Because when you do it after the shir, it doesn't work. No funds are available afterwards. If you want to sell, or you want to transfer your Torah, it's only before you do it. Before you start. Right? I'm going to learn that for 2 hours. That learning should be split between me and my partner. Once you do it already, not transferable.
But that's just the announcement. The person had already given you the money.
Right. You have to just make sure that the learning can go for someone else before you do it. Says Rama, but once you already do it, let's say a guy says, you know what, I learned for the last, 5 years ago, I learned, a lot. So that Torah I want to split with Zvulun, So Zvulun gives me the money now, and I give him half of the Torah that I did 5 years ago. Doesn't work. It can only work going forward. Shaila is why.
Okay, so one second. How about if you're learning Lezech and Nishma somebody? Does that mean that the people that are in the Shir aren't getting credit because it's going to that guy?
That's always a Shaila. Can you learn from multiple people? That's always a question. And the assumption with Torah is
any different than yeshivas. They have 50 names.
On right. The assumption with Torah is like the Aruch HaKadosh, right? It's like a flame. And no matter how many people take from the flame never goes away. That's always the assumption that many people have, which is why people assume when you do Yisachar Zvulun, so Zvulun gets half the Torah, but Yisachar doesn't lose either. Again, so Zvulun gives half of his money away while Yisachar still retains his Chelek and Torah, which means Yisachar has a better end of the deal, if you think of it like that. Now, Rav Moshe happens to hold, I'm not getting into it. Rav Moshe holds Yisachar Zvulun has to be a perfect 50-50, which means if Zvulun makes $5 billion, yes, he has to give $2.5 billion to Yisachar, which would make Yisachar the wealthiest Chelek guy in the planet, or ever to live. That's how Rav Moshe holds. I mean, you can't do partial. You can't say, well, I want to take
half. How about if you split it between multiple colors?
Right, then he's got to, it has to be a partnership of 50-50. Oh, wow. That's Rav Moshe holds. To do what? So Rav Moshe happens to have a tshuva where he holds Yisachar Zvulun has to be for a bunch of years. You can't do it for like a day or two. It's got to be for like 3 to 5 years. Now, the truth is, I'm not doing this topic tonight, but if you look in Achronim, they actually have shtaris, legal documents, that are written up to make a real Yisachar Zvulun. Chaz Nish had a nosach, Chaz Yitzchak had a tshuva, a real, make it legal, like this is real. And then
there's... I don't know what that star.
Really?
Really?
Wow, Stu, I didn't know. My house just went up in value. Look at you.
Now, the truth is, a lot of the contemporary poets can point out, sometimes you have to put like, let's say things change. Let's say, for example, the Yisachar starts marrying off his kids. So now he needs more money now. So now the partnership has to perhaps change a little bit.
So
okay, it's complicated.
I was according to Moshe, giving something towards Rashir or...
So that's what I want to get to tonight. I want to get to, is there anything between Yisachar and Zvulun and, you know, just machzik haTorah? Again, a guy sends money to a yeshiva. He's not going 50-50 with the yeshiva. He's not giving away half his money to the yeshiva, but he's helping support the... So right now, no one really used that terminology of Yisachar Zvulun partnership. Right now, we said that you can give away Torah and you can share it. Now, the Vilna Gaon writes over here, number 3.
But that they did in Yeridea, they talked about it.
Where?
In the first source.
You know, he said, we look at it as if you learned yourself, and he said, K'moshidoshu Chazal, the pasuk of Smach Zvulun. But he never talked about the partnership that we all know today as, you know, that they sell to you and then they come on people's doors and saying, let's go Yisachar Zvulun partnership. That's a real partnership with a lot of halachic significance. I want to talk today more about a lower level partnership where you're not going 50-50 and you're not signing away your money, but you're sending money towards Loim Dei Teir. So I tell my Tamidim and Yeshiva that to go to college, I said, I want you guys to be Yisachar and Zvuluns. I want you guys to be both. I want you to learn Torah the whole day and you can do both. So we'll talk in the Gemara about people who tried to do that. But let's see. So the Vilna Gaon writes over number 3, Umisha I Efsher, wasn't mean a person can't learn. So he quotes the Medrash and Bereshis Rabbah, which I photocopied later on. The Medrash says over there, Zvulun L'Chef Yamim Yishkein, Zvulun goes out into the sea. He always worked in the water. So Dov Feinstein has a beautiful pshat. It's Kedai Grad, if anyone hasn't yet bought his book. The art school came out a book, Yaakov Besser came out, Yisrael Besser came out a book. Beautiful book by Rav Dov Feinstein. A fascinating, fascinating book. Rav Dov Feinstein was one of those people, you can't get enough stories about him. He's just and we all know him. We all lived in the same time as him, so it's much more relatable.
You see pictures, you see a lot of 5-pound guys in there.
Too. Oh yeah? I didn't go through all of them yet. It's a gewaltige book, but Rav Dov Feinstein said a beautiful word in this book. Why did Taka Zvulun always work in the water? So we know the water was always dangerous. The water was always a dangerous place. That's why you bench grim when you go over the water. So Dov Feinstein explained that if Zvulun would sit in an office and just type on a computer, it would be much harder for him to share his money with Yisachar. Because the same time, listen, I worked, I dealt with difficult people, and I give you half my money. Now Zvulun goes into where it's dangerous. Zvulun says to himself, I'm going into danger. I'm going into really, the only reason why I'm coming out alive is because I'm supporting Yisachar. And therefore, Zvulun would be more motivated to share his money because he feels that he's being watched over from Hashem in a matzav of danger. That's Rav Dov Feinstein's pshat on why Zvulun was always by the water. But in any case, so says the Medrash, have a Zvulun koydim Yisachar. If you looked in the parsha, Zvulun goes before Yisachar. Elo shoy Zvulun oisik b'pakmatio Zvulun did business v'Yisachar oisik b'teira. Uzvulun bo umachila and Zvulun came and fed him. Lefichach kid mualav, and that's where he goes first. Because he was the one who supports him. So even though we would think Yisachar should go before Zvulun because Yisachar is Torah, no. Zvulun goes first because he supports Torah. All of Akosav, it says the pasuk, Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba. The tree of life to those that hold it up. The Machziki HaTorah are very essential. Famous Meshech Chachma and Parshas Truma, that the Badim of the Oren, Allah Yasuru Mimenu, they're not allowed to be removed. So the Badi of Oren represent the Machziki HaTorah. The Machzik HaTorah can never be detached from the Torah. They're the ones who hold up the Torah. Okay. So he writes this, V'chei Moshe Omar, Smach Zvulun B'tzeisecha. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu put Zvulun first. Why? Lama she'yisacha ba'ilecha, sholchohin, she'ata m'seyeh aleishev ben. You're helping. Since Zvulun is helping Yisachar, that's why Zvulun goes first. Now, why is it that you can't give away Torah after you learned it? So it's a Gemara in Saita. The Gemara tells us on the Pasuk, Boiz Yuvoy Zuloi. The Gemara says a person is going to waste all that he has. Not like Shimon, the brother of Azariah, Who was Shimon, the brother of Azariah? So Rashi explains Shimon was a Tana who had a very wealthy brother named Azariah. And Azariah supported him. V'loike b'yechelen the b'nesiyah, not like b'yechelen who the b'nesiyah supported him. Eloke hill of Ashavna. Who's hill of Ashavna? Hill of Ashavna were two people. I think it was his brother. The Chiyas Rav Dimi came, Omar Hillel of Shavna Achia, they were brothers. So what happened? Hillel, Isaac Beteira, Shavna, Oivid Iska. Hillel learned all day long. Shavna, his brother, worked. Lesoif, when it was all over, Amalei, Tonarev Eliflik. So when he learned, after all those years of Hillel learning, his brother came and said, you know what? Let's go 50-50. So the Gemara says, Yatsa Baskal Vamram Yitinish is called Hain Besai. No, no, now it's too late. Once you already did it, he can't pay for it. But before, that's when you could. So this the Gemara is the Makar of the Ramah. That the Ramah says you're not allowed to give away once you learned, but before you do it, then you could give it away. So if you take a look over number 6, the Chafetz Chaim wrote many Svarim that are not as popular as his Mishneh Berurah. So one of them we spoke a little bit about is the Avas Chesed. And today we're going to learn another Sefer from the Mishneh Berurah called the Shem Olam. Shem Olam was another Sefer authored by the Chafetz Chaim, which is all about, significantly about Torah. So in that sefer he writes, "Umitzvas chizuk yidei talmidei chachamim hu b'chal mitzvas asei gemur." The mitzvah of supporting, holding up talmidei chachamim is a mitzvas asei, positive commandment. Kama shkasev Rambam Milchus Deis that the Rambam says in Halacha Beis, mitzvas asei lidavik b'chachamim talmidei. There's a mitzvah asei to connect yourself to chachamim. So the Gemara asks, "V'chiyev shel adam ledabik b'shchin? How do you connect yourself to them? Lefichach tzadam neshtad v'lechav lishtois. Eat and drink with them. Blasav b'kmat b'talmidei chachamim. Try to do business with talmidei chachamim. Shenem ulodav kaboy." Connect yourself to them. The Gemara says, if you marry off your daughter to a Talmid Chacham, v'amahane Talmid Chacham in a chaser, if you give pleasure to Talmid Chacham with your money, ki'ilu nidbak b'shchina. As if you're connected to the Shechina itself, and Zokter Mishneh Berurah, it's a mitzvah saseh of the Pasuk of Ladav Kabay.
Okay? That's different than someone learning. It could be a Talmid Chacham.
Is usually someone who's
anyone learning.
Right, usually Talmud Chacham, someone who's already a scholar, beyond just a certain. So the truth is, there's a big shaila. I didn't put it on the sheets. There's a big shaila. If a guy has $100,000, where should he put his money? So should he give it to a kailul, a bismedrish, elementary school, girls' school? So most people say, give it to a kailul. Some person say, give it to an elementary school, because the hevel shall pivot tinaikis, it's worth more. Famous Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara says that the hevel of tinaikis is rabban, it's because their Torah is pure. Right, 10-year-old, 9-year-old boys, they don't have any yitzahara, they don't have political opinions, they don't not like certain groups already, they're much more pure. So some people say, give your money to them. Now most people will not give $100,000 to a 5th grade, 6th grade, they'd rather give it to a kailul or a smedrish, but some place can actually pass on halacha l'maaseh, if you want to get the biggest bang for your buck, give it to an elementary school. Now, girls' schools have the hardest time fundraising, because no one wants to give to girls' schools, because they're not mechayev in Talmud Torah. So people are less willing to give. Okay, it's true. But if you want to give your money somewhere, some people talk a hold, it's more kedai to give to elementary school than it is to give to Beis Medrash or a kailul because of the hevel, the Gemara says, the hevel shel tinekesh beis rab. Another sefer that was written about Talmud Torah was the Eitz Pri.
I think that was also just about 10-year-old, right?
Yeah, but the Gemara says, because the Gemara says, since they're so pure, it's worth more. That's what the Gemara says. Gemara
in, the Eitz Pri?
The Eitz Pri was a Bishul Chon inspector. Yitzchak Chacham Spekter was one of the great rabbanim of the 19th century, right? YU is named partially for Yitzchak Chacham, half the name, right? Eitz Chaim and was half the name of Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chacham. So Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chacham was named for Yitzchak Chacham. That was half of it, and the other half was for Eitz Chaim was the other yeshiva. Two different yeshivas. And when the people moved from Europe, they combined the two to start YU. So they say a gevaldik gemaisa to Yitzchak Chacham. They say that he was always, I always get chizuk from this story. I don't know, he used to be a rav in a much smaller town until he eventually moved up to Kovno. So one time, one of the mishulachim that used to come to town used to tell him, you know, if you want to make it big, you got to get smicha from the Karliner, from the Mishkanes Yankov. Unless you get smicha from the Mishkanes Yankov, you'll always stay a small little rabbi. So he said, okay, fine, good idea. So he travels to Karlin, to the Mishkanes Yankov, to the Karliner, and he, for the first time, he came across the Gemara Zvachim. He never saw Zvachim before, he didn't have a Gemara Zvachim before. People don't realize this. When the Daf Yomi came out in the 1930s, so the one who made it popular wasn't really Meir Shapiro. It was really the Ger Rebbe. The Ger Rebbe in Leil Rosh Hashanah sat down right after davening and taught the Daf Yomi. But there weren't enough Gemaras. They had to start printing new Gemaras in Poland because people didn't have. Today, every kid at his bar mitzvah gets 4 shasim. He doesn't know what Shas is, but he gets four Shas of his brothers. They didn't have enough Gemaras to go around. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan never saw Gemaras Vachem. So when he came to town, he saw Gemaras Vachem, he was enamored. So he studied it. And the next morning, there was a big Shiloh about a get. And Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan was new. Zvachem Dav Beis talks about Lashma. It connects to get. So he knew what Tais was there. So he kind of, you know, added his 2 cents, and they were very impressed with him. So then a couple of weeks later, when someone came to the Kalina and said, we need to get a big Shteller, who can we send? So he sent Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. So that's how he got his big job, eventually moved his way up. Okay. So I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go to now to get smicha from somebody, but if I want to move up in the world, you got to go to someone else to get smicha from. Okay. That's the story that they say over with Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan writes over here in number 7 at Gevaldik Yisoy. He says, "Ubechlal kol oisik b'teir hu gamkin af mishe in yoch alias oisik b'teir mach mas tedes asman." Again, this is referring to someone who can't learn. Again, every person has to learn irrelevant to their situation. Now, on top of that, after you put in your hour in the morning, you put in your hour at night, now you're working, so now you can work and work, or you can work and get schak ilu lomdoi by supporting Torah. Mikol mokim yochel ahasig maila zul dias nitzelman yisur. He says, by supporting Torah, you get the perks of learning. What are the perks of learning? One of the perks of learning, the Gemara says, is that when a person learns Torah, he's protected from yisur. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, you get that if you support Torah. We consider as if you're learning. But he writes a chiddush. Let's say this guy can learn without you. He's got a parnos. He's a rebbe, he gets a kailo stipend, he can live. You give him a little bit more to live. You give him a little extra. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, "Beze omru teschar hatamad chocham meruba biyosim mischar shamisha mahanam minchasav oislag bekmatcha." Then you don't get the same madrega. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan holds, in order to get this unbelievable madrega, it has to be that without you, this guy would have to go to work. And now that you're supporting him, he talking can learn the whole day. But if, let's say, for example, the guy has a job, he has a more means of parnasa, you're just making his life a little easier, then you don't have that mile. Now, if you look in 7b, the Shem Oilom, Chavetz Chaim writes, you read the Torah, you sound like Chazakas that Torah is for a guy who can't learn Torah. But if a guy can learn his own Torah, then let him learn Torah. Says the Shem Oilam, not true. He says, not true. You have to be Machzik Torah even if you're going to learn. If you learn Torah, meaning, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan says, and we'll see the Aruch HaShulchan lays this out, every Jew has to be Machzik Torah. It's not only for the guy who can't learn, so we tell him, oh listen, you can't learn, so support Torah. No. Even if you could learn, you can learn 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day. You can learn 12 hours a day. You still have to be Machzik Torah. It's amazing.
Isn't this what they said about the
Panovich
Rav? That he went into business, no?
Panovich Rav, I don't know. He went into business?
I don't know. I heard that way he was out collecting for his yeshiva. This is what I heard, and then he said that he could be Machzik Torah, but besides having the yeshiva Panovich, if he goes out into business to support the yeshiva, also
make more money. Yeah, they once asked Baron Cutler. They said if it's so much credit for supporting Torah, so why don't we close Lakewood? We'll all go into business, and we'll support someone else's learning Torah. We'll get all the perks. So Baron told him, "You're right, but what's going to be with your Oilam Hazeh? That's good for your Oilam Haba. You're right, but what type of Oilam Hazeh are you going to have?" Mm-hmm. That was Baron's response to that. Only a Baron can say such an answer. But take a look at this Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan.
So is this on a different category of Tzedakah? Well, it's not in Tzedakah?
Yes, it's not included in Tzedakah. This is a different level of Achzakah Zatar. Now take a look at this Aruch HaShulchan. Such a beautiful Aruch HaShulchan. He writes, He says, a person shouldn't say, I learned Torah. I don't have to support Torah. The Enochin, it's not true. The Adra, but even should you day a koich HaTorah, hachiv olav yoyser liyos masmichin. He says, if you learn Torah, then you should be the first one to support Torah, because you have a sensitivity towards it. Most of the Torah usually comes from people that are not wealthy. They need support. Every dollar that you give adds up to be a lot. It will protect you from Yisurim. The more you learn, the more you love it. You'll support them, and you'll help them. Dr. Fakert. People think that you get that guy who has no shaykhas to learning. You tell him, listen, you don't do anything else productive, so support Torah. You take the guy who taka learns 5-6 hours a day, he gives a shir, he gives 2 shirim, and he taka has the financial means. You tell him, you're the guy to support Torah because you have the chashivas of it. To a guy who doesn't understand what Torah is about, it's much harder to get him to give money. That's Aruch HaShulchan's point.
Yeah,
you have to sort of like track your money, like supporting a Torah, but yeshiva, but they're using that to buy the food.
All right, so that's always the old issue. Right? Where's your money going? Yeah. So we'll see in a second. We'll see a letter from the Stipler, a very powerful letter from the Stipler, where he thought that supporting Torah is the most important thing.
Now, my friend has a color, so the floor was buckling, whatever.
Right.
So he asked me to help him out to fix the floor, so I gave him...
Right, I'm saying, without a floor, you can't have yeshiva. You know, it's all part of it. To me, that's all part of it. It all goes into it, you know. It gets more complicated when you start talking about other things that people say, well, the yeshiva needs this and he needs that in order to do his... Okay, you know, I don't know how much he needs that, but I think a floor... I definitely think a floor is a necessity for yeshiva to flourish.
You're supporting the institution.
Right, you're supporting those that...
How they use it is up to them.
Right, you're assuming that they're using it to support the Torah. Now, obviously, you have to have secretaries and janitors and...
Right, it doesn't only mean for the kind of guys.
It means for the to keep the yeshiva running. Now, if you take a look in the Yitzchak...
So if you're Machzik Torah, that's the Sacher Zvulun?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Just giving money to each other.
It gives you all these perks. All these perks you'll get. Now, if you take a look over in the Eitz Pri, in the Bitzik HaChonon, he writes, here's a kasha. He says, L'chari yesh l'hoi azeh mahod debarach estaf lamadal v'senhejim daf tzadi tes. To amru sham, the Gemara says, kol anevim lo yisnamnu elo ul'oise pragmatche l'tamid chachom. Again, the greatest thing is what? To do business with tamid chachomim, ul'mahane tamid chachomim chosev, and to give them pleasure from your stuff. Aval tamid chachom atzmon. That's what the Gemara says. Harei deschara tamid chachom atzmon god lo yoise b'mishem hana min chosev. Right, the schar being the Talmud Chacham himself is better than giving to him. That's not like what we're saying over here. Here we're saying that, well, when you support Torah, you're just as good as learning Torah. So it says, Yibitz Gachon, the same idea. Again, this guy can only learn because of you. If you're causing someone to learn and without you they would not learn, then you get exact same credit as if the learning itself. He says, if you're the reason why without you, this person will not learn, this institution will not function, this kaila would close, then you taka are exactly the same level of learning. But if they're going to live without you, but you're helping them, then you're not exactly the same madrega as learning, as the person learning himself.
So what does that mean? Let's say if the koel needs $500,000 a year and you only give him $50,000, right, you don't get
so
the car?
You, if without you the koel would still be there, then you're not getting the same level. No, you get tzchak. You don't get the same level as if you learned yourself. As kilo loymid ba'atzmai. That madrega that you get for supporting
Torah. Everyone has the yechilus.
Okay. You have to be able to. If you don't, you don't. Look at this letter from the Stipler.
It's going to be interesting. Many, many years ago, actually, I met a fellow in Young Israel at the time, giving 20 years ago, and he was an investor, and he was successful. And I said to him, what's the key to your success? He says, every deal that I go into, the chadchila, I give my quote, Rav, whoever that is, 5% of the deal. So let's say they're around, he's putting in $100,000, whatever, he automatically opens up as one of the investors, Rabbi Schwartz, Rabbi Cohen, whatever it was. He says, ever since they did that, they... It was fine. I said, maybe give them more, you'll even do better.
Yeah.
Interesting, because that's doing
pragmatic. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. You become partners with them. That's why you sell Chazvulim, or that you make them part of yours, so it's much more successful. So look at this letter from the Stipler, Karen of the Igris, number 10. He says,
the Stipler, he writes,
now, obviously, if you're invested in other organizations, you're not going to like this line, because again, as I always tell this to people, you can't tell people how to spend their money. Some people have their organizations that they will give leiv and nefesh to and every penny that they have, and you'll come to them with your organization, they will not give you a dime. Because that's what their liboy tells them. But the Stipler here says that the ein l'chodover godol v'kodesh yoser. Every fundraiser should know this kind of digger sub-heart. There's nothing greater and holier than supporting yeshivas v'kailim. V'atoymech behem, if you support them, nikra oyavoy v'yedid eshal kodesh baruch hu. You called a friend and a beloved by Hashem. You can't even imagine what great zchusim you have. And he says to this person, you'll do as much as you can, obviously, as much as you can, in order to support the kolim. And I'm giving you a bracha, a very beautiful bracha from the stipler.
Any parameters, right?
No. Whatever you give. Just give.
So I got $10,000 to give it to the youngest little wood mirror. She could all the 5 towns. We may want to turn this off.
I'm saying this. I didn't say got to, but I'm just saying the stipler. That's why I said, if you're a guy that gives the other, again, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, or sadly, there are so many worthy organizations in Klai Israel. We all know that. Where do you give your money?
Hatzalah.
Exactly. Hatzalah. There's so many. I got to try. Exactly. So what I try to do with the bulk of my Maisa money, for whatever it's worth, I try to give it to Lamedei Torah. Now, I try to give to other things also, but I try to give it to Torah because we believe that it's important. Now, if everyone gives to Torah, all these Maisas will close. Hatzalah will close. The Torah says there are other people that feel more comfortable giving to Hatzalah. Baruch Hashem. We try to give to everything, but there's only a certain amount of money to go around. But listen to a Yushalmi. Oh, wow. This Yushalmi is famous because the Ramban quotes it. But if you actually see the whole Yushalmi, it's even more amazing than we're on page 2.
Oh.
You turn to page 2. The Ramban is the Yushalmi says like this. It says in the Chumash in Parashas Ki Sovei Oror Eisha Shelo Yokim is Divrei HaTorah Azos. Cursed is the man who does not stand up the Torah. So everyone tells us, what does that mean? You don't stand up the Torah. So the Yushalmi has a whole bunch of different pshatim. Skip a bunch of lines where it says like this. Rav Acha B'Shem Yib Tanchum Rav Chia Lomad V'Limed. We're talking about a guy who learns and he teaches. The Shomar V'Oiseh. And he keeps the Torah. The guy's fantastic. He gives a share. He learns Torah. Keeps all the mitzvahs. But v'hoisa speka biyadei l'hachzik. But he has the ability to support Torah v'lo hechzik, and he doesn't. Harei ze bechlal ora. He's included in the chumash when the Torah said ora. Now this guy's a fantastic guy. He learns Torah. He teaches Torah. He keeps Torah mitzvahs. You'd say this guy is a superstar. You'd honor him at the dinner. Says the Yushalmi, if he has the ability to support Torah and he doesn't, he's an ora. He's a cursed person. Let's say the flip side. The guy doesn't learn. He doesn't teach it. He doesn't have a lot of money to support. But the hichzik, he puts together whatever few pennies he has. It sounds like he's not such a firm guy.
Wow.
So Marduk Yushalmi.
So bottom line, you could go off the derech as long as you give money to Yishalmi.
I didn't say it like that, but look at what Yitzchak Kahan says. You can have a guy who learns the whole day and he teaches. Gam kein chiyuvo ale rami lahaspik lachem. He still has a mitzvah to give to others. She yechilas biyodam lo, so they can learn. Because if you have a guy who doesn't spend the whole day long learning, he has to try to support others. Because if you don't do that much, then you're included in an error. Very, very scary. With Yushalmi. Okay, we ran out of time. Mitzvah. We'll finish this up next week. We'll leave it on that note.